From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever the cape wearing vampire producer, my friend, my producer, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, if I haven't mentioned that already, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count. Count, I can't hear you. This is why a
That's
sound
why
check.
You can't yeah,
this
hear
is
me
why
right
we
there.
Do a sound check, Count.
Bob,
Panic.
No time for sound checks.
No time for sound checks when we are dealing with.
No time for sound
no
checks.
No times for sound checks.
Because we got it locked. We got it loaded. No time for sound checks, Bob. I think we're sounding just as fine as always. But yes, great to be back here. Another episode, of course, of the smash sensation sweeping the nation. Bob After Dark.
Did you just come up with that off the top? Come up with that at the top of your head?
It's a graveyard smash, Bob.
You know, before we begin, we have to give a quick shout out to the hero of the day,
Ben Cohort.
Ben Cohort, the other WJOB.
At one point, there was three Bens working here. Now we're down to two Bens
yes.
around these parts.
So this Ben.
Yes. Well,
so shout out to Ben for getting us set up today, because
you know,
that was almost a catastrophic failure.
Sometimes we have old computers in the background. As you see, if you're watching on the video, JedTV.com, or anywhere else, you can see in the background this Dell computer, and sometimes it has a mind of its own. You know, Bob, I think this Dell computer right behind me, I think, might be a little haunted. Funny things have been happening with that computer.
Some things.
Yeah, some things. But good to see you, Bob.
Good to see you, Count. How have you been?
I've been good, Bob. Can't complain, and if I did complain, who would listen?
I would listen. Joke. You know, Count, I have to ask, because it's very important.
Yes.
The weekend update.
Oh, yes. The weekend update.
did you forget?
I had to, you know, it's been a busy weekend. I've been all around, all over town, over the border, beyond the border, close to the region, further off in the region. Got some work done. And, you know, I had a laid back good weekend, Bob. I can't complain about it.
Are you traveling for the side project?
The side project is always in motion here, Bob. I went out to Chesterton, Indiana, and of course, there was a... Yeah, I won't get too deep into that, but Panic in the Region, check it out on Facebook, Panic in the Region, or JetTV.com. Checked out a dog down there in the running to be the Cadbury Egg Easter Bunny.
That's
Cadbury,
exciting.
For some people to pronounce it like that, too, as well. I don't know if the dog made it. They were supposed to announce it today. Was in top two finalists out of 12,000, which is pretty dang good.
That's cool.
So what we'll to keep post on that. We should have brought the dog on here tonight. I mean,
we should. Listen, it's National Puppy Day as we're recording this episode. And you know what? Dogs are man's best friend, and they're Bob's best friend.
Dogs are man's
I
best friend.
I do thoroughly enjoy the company of a pup. They're great pups and stuff. They're great.
Well, that's the great 10. Thing about you, Bob. You know, I remember you were a dog person. You were never, back in the day, Bob, you were never a cat person.
I was never a cat person.
Now,
somehow, some way, some shape, some form, some cats fell into my life. And they're great. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, Indy, Althena, Eris, and Gozer, they're great cats. But let me, it's just a dog thing, you know. You get a dog and you can take a dog for a walk. It's hard. Some people walk cats. You walk a dog, you can throw, play fetch with the dog. Dogs are great. That's just about it.
Although you could walk a cat outside, I think. Somewhere.
Some people walk cats. True story. I, not mine, but you could definitely walk a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sometimes a dog walks you.
Depends. Well, would you like to know my weekend update?
Bob, how was your weekend?
It was not bad.
Not bad, which is good.
I guess. Day job stuff kept me busy, and then getting home to work on the show for the week. Just a quick update for our podcast fans. We're going to be switching up things just a little bit probably in the coming weeks. Live show will always stay the same because it's kind of hard to update how we do the live show because it's kind of set in ways and people listen, and when they listen, right? But for the podcast fans, what we're thinking about doing is we're going to be splitting up the show into two uploads. So upload one will be top of the week. That's where you're going to be able to listen to your the news segments of the show, because half the time that takes up half the show. And I have a lot of fans that only listen for the lore of the week, and then I have fans that listen and they really enjoy the news segments. But it's hard to condense that. Sometimes our shows can turn out to be hour 45, 2 hours long. And that's tough to introduce to new listeners. People are busy. They don't want to listen to 2 hour long episodes just out of the blue for something new. So we're looking at doing for the podcast two uploads. Just keep in mind about that, guys, Podcast Land listeners. That'll be coming very soon. It was an idea that was pitched tonight from Pat from Ghostly.
There you go.
And I think me and Count were talking about it before the show, and I think that's the most logical step to move forward with.
It makes sense, Bob. It makes sense.
So we're going to have two uploads a week, and the fans of both can listen to both. And then you could split that up in your one commute, you know, one commute one day, one commute the other day, and you could get through both parts of the show. And that looks good on everybody's end. I think that's the logical step we're going to move forward with.
It makes sense, Bob. At the end of the day, that's what you need. Stuff that makes sense. That makes sense.
Absolutely. So that's about it.
And plus, think about it this way. You kind of you space out your week a little bit here. And
absolutely.
You get a little Bob in the beginning, a little Bob at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the logical step to move forward with the podcast version of the show.
Yes.
And the live show will stay the same because we have fans that specifically, they don't listen to the podcast. They listen to the radio. And which we're going to talk about in a second because I made an appearance on a specific radio show this week by accident.
You did.
Yep. And but we have fans that listen on the radio. And we have fans that tune in for the Facebook Live. But that's just the way I think it's going to have to go forward. And the radio and live fans, they have the show, and they'll be able to listen when they can.
At the end of the day, Bob, there's many ways to get the whole episode. You just space about. It's all there. The quality and the quantity, it's both there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, happy birthday, Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill would have been 76 years old today.
Happy
so
birthday.
Happy birthday, Uncle Bill, Uncle supporter from beyond the grave.
There you go.
Yep. All right, Count. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to an episode of Bob After Dark, we're your weekly paranormal show that, how'd you put it earlier? The sensation that's sweeping
the nation.
Sensation that's sweeping the nation.
Yes.
Yes.
You're the host that enjoys toast from coast to coast.
I like that. I can enjoy toast from one coast to the other coast. And do you have a slogan?
I'm the Count. That likes to, I don't want to know. Wait, that doesn't sound good.
No, the first word that came to mind is not a good one. So we'll come up with a catchphrase for you. You're the Count Panic that doesn't panic.
Yes, sure. Go with that one.
I think I do the panicking for the both of us. But anyway, this is your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural. Things that go bump in the night, cryptids, lights in the sky, and just all around general spookiness. Mm. Sometimes we theme our months for the lore of the week, which this entire month of March has been Faelor Month, celebrating St. Patrick's Day and the elder creatures of the Celtic areas, or Celtic, if that's the way you pronounce it. And then we also do the spooky news of the week. That is where you, the fans, submit news articles to us to read. Count Panic does not get prepped for these. However, he was prepped for one this week, and we're looking forward to sharing that one. So this is where we get the raw hashtag panics take where Panic tells us what he thinks about whatever news story is coming up and all that exciting ventures.
Sure.
So why don't we dive right in, folks, to our paranormal spooky news of the week. This is where these news articles, like I was saying, these are borderline science fiction stuff coming to reality. These are weird advances in science. These are paranormal stories that come up in the normal news, or, you know, a ghost sighting getting national attention, or just general weird spookiness. You never know what you're going to find in the world of the paranormal news. And our first news article actually comes to us from two people. Steve.
Yes.
Steve, our our rotating in and out co-host. He's busy in his professional wrestling career. And James from Peoria. They both sent in the same article, and I'm very excited to share it because this is like huge breaking news in the world of the extraterrestrial. So I'm going to be reading the new specific article that comes to us from the New York Post. And it is, the upcoming Pentagon report will detail difficult to explain UFO sightings.
Ooh.
A forthcoming government report will reveal evidence of UFOs breaking the sound barrier without a sonic boom and other difficult to explain phenomena, the director of national intelligence said. John Ratcliffe, the top intelligence officer under President Donald Trump, was asked about incidents involving unidentified flying objects on the Fox News this past Friday. There are a lot more sightings that have been made public, he said, told the host of Maria, Bartolomeo. I'm not familiar with the news anchor, I apologize. Some of these have been declassified. And when we talk about sightings, Ratcliffe continued, we are talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots, or have been picked up by satellite imagery that frankly engage in actions that are difficult to explain. Movements that are hard to replicate that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. A new Pentagon report will also detail any threats posed by the aerial phenomena and whether the foreign adversaries are suspected of controlling them. Weather can cause disturbances, visual disturbances, Ratcliffe said. Sometimes we wonder whether or not our adversaries have technologies that are a bit further down the road than we have thought or that we have realized. But these are instances where we don't have good explanations for some of the things we've seen or that we have yet to be seen. Ratcliffe's remarks came several months after the Pentagon declassified three well-known UFO videos, acknowledging that the footage that was shot by U.S. Navy pilots. In the interview, Ratcliffe said, the sightings, which have been reported across the globe, extend beyond just a pilot or just a satellite or some intelligence collection. Usually we have multiple sensors that are picking up these things. Some of these are unexplained phenomena, and there are actually quite a few more that have been made public, he said. The Pentagon report is expected to be released by June 1st, Baltarimo said during the interview. That's after Trump, in December, signed a $2.3 trillion COVID-19 relief and government funding bill, which started a 180-day countdown for the Pentagon and spy agencies to say what they know about UFOs. Ratcliffe said that he had hoped to release the information before administration's departure from the White House in January, but we weren't able to get it down into an unclassified format that we could talk about quickly enough. He remarks that the Pentagon officially declassifying three Navy videos last year that captured unidentified flying objects in 2004 and 2015. The videos were first leaked to the Stars Academy, a UFO research group founded by my favorite band, Blink-182, singer Tom DeLonge, and then obtained through efforts by the New York Times. In the clips, UFOs were seen moving at incredible speeds and performing seemingly impossible aerial maneuvers. One of the clips showed a darker circular object flying far from front of a jet, while a second caught a small object racing over land. The third captured a circular object, then speeding, then appearing to slow down and moving closer to its pilot's camera. The Pentagon announced in September that it created an unidentified aerial phenomena task force. The unit will report at least some of its work to the Senate Intelligence Committee every 6 months. Senator Marco Rubio, from Florida, acting chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, said earlier this year that he wanted more transparency from the task force on the grounds of national security. We have these things flying over our military bases and places where we're conducting military exercises, and we don't know what it is. And it isn't ours, Rubio told the Miami CBS affiliate last year. Frankly, that's something from outside this planet that might actually be better than the fact that we're seeing technological leap of behalf of the Chinese or the Russians or some other adversary that allows them to conduct this activity. Then earlier this year, the CIA released a trove of newly unsealed records of UFOs. The dossier, which was available through the Black Vault, a website operated by author and podcaster John Greenwald Jr., was to include all the information that the agencies have on UFOs or UAPs, which is unidentified aerial phenomena, as the government calls them. But Greenwald claimed that the documents appear to be intentionally difficult to sift through since they are from an used an outdated file format. The CIA has made it incredibly difficult to use their records in a reasonable manner, he said. In my opinion, this outdated format makes it very difficult for people to see the documents and use them for any research purposes. The latest developments come amid rising interest in UFOs, which have been indicted by surge in sightings. Sightings were up in 2020 compared to previous years. More than 6,600 recorded that during the period, according to the National UFO Reporting Data Center. Hashtag panics take.
That's a lot to unpack there, Bob. Now, this Blink-182 guy,
Tom DeLonge,
he kind of tipped everybody off here to this thing because at the time, there was a time, Bob, where nobody believed the guy. They all
listen, if you
crazy.
Go and listen to the Tom DeLonge Joe Rogan interview, Joe Rogan kind of lets him have it a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to...
I missed that one.
I'm not going to dog, you know, Papa Joe Rogan there. King podcaster.
Pick your battles, Bob.
That is not one battle I'm going to pick. And, you know, he's a skeptic, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being a skeptic. But, man, go on there.
But, you know, it turns out, I feel like things are taking a turn for him here.
Yeah. I mean, he legitimately is coming out to being less of a crazy person and more of, like, kind of an advancing head in this industry.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we talk about this stuff in the past. You know, they always try... I would say the government's trying to hide some stuff here, some shady stuff going down, but it seems like now they're kind of leaking some stuff here, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, we're literally at the we're at the cusp of something really major here, and I don't think it's being talked about enough. So in the world of paranormal studies, and we talked a little bit about this last week in previous weeks and when I was on the show with you the other day.
Yeah.
We talk about it being a pseudoscience, and a pseudoscience being paranormal investigations are a pseudoscience. You may apply actual scientific method to something, but at the end of the day, what you're studying is fantastical. Same with cryptozoology. You might be using actual biological studies or scientific method or, you know, zoological like ways of studying these things that, you know, we see or hear stories about. But at the end of the day, you're studying, in essence, a monster, which is a fantastical story, and then because it's so fantastical, becomes a pseudoscience, right?
Yeah.
Same concept with the UFOlogy world. I am not a UFOlogist, guys. I am a mid-enthusiast when it comes to that sort of level of phenomena. I always break down in the world of paranormal and our kind of hangouts. You know, there's different groupings, in my opinion, of what we do. You have people like me that do, like, the paranormal aspect. Then you have the UFO people. Then you have true crime. And you have the conspiracy people. We all hang out kind of in the same bowling league, but we bowl on separate teams. And sometimes we do have crossover between the groups of us. It's getting to the point where those people that have been studying UFOs, extraterrestrials, the UAIs, all this stuff, it's becoming more and more prevalent in today's society. And now we're getting really close to this, you know, full declassification document that people have been waiting for decades. So if the government comes out and says, hey, guys, UFOs are real, we're pretty much at that point. We are legitimately believing in some sort of extraterrestrial life being real, and that we're being visited by these things from outside of our world. It blows my mind because it no longer becomes a pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. It becomes an actual science.
Yeah.
These are things that people are going to actually be putting a lot of thought and effort into. And I find that very fascinating. It's amazing to me, and it gives me hope for the other forms of paranormal investigations. The more and more we learn about this, the more and more we might be able to put the thought that we use into this into the other things. Cryptozoology, I would assume, is probably the second big boom that we're getting if we get some proof, like factual proof behind things like Bigfoot or Mothman. And then the next step is, what happens to us when we die? And do we have actual proof of things like ghosts existing? And then thus, pseudoscience is no longer the term being used. It's just science. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating to me. And this is things that people have been looking forward to for many, many years. What's your big take on it?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think it's all coming to a head here, Bob. I think as this year goes on into next year, I think we'll learn more things, more mysteries. Wait, mysteries unsolved, mysteries revealed.
Or mysteries revealed, you know. Yeah. What are these things?
Yes.
And where are they coming from?
Yeah, no.
Was it the big turnaround of 2020 just being the complete train wreck that it was of the year? You know, did it actually put out some sort of, like, I don't want to say stress beacon, but an SOS to the greater, you know, beings, and they're just answering them?
Do you think they're coming to help us?
I would like to think so. I would like to hope so. I mean, and we'll get to that story here in a second of what we would deal with it if it was either hostile or positive. For what it's worth, and for the record, before we move on to the next story, is if I was an extraterrestrial being, mm-hmm. and I get to pick anywhere in the entire universe where I would go and visit, Earth would be like bottom of my list, man.
Really?
You gotta look at it.
A lot of action going on.
There's a lot of action going on here. Us as a species, I would consider us very dumb. Are we advanced technology-wise and other things? Sure. But we are so far behind in, like, social structures, and the fact that we still kill each other over nonsense, and the fact that racism still exists, and sexism, and, you know, homophobic tendencies, et cetera, et cetera. We're so far behind in that regard. We are such a violent species, man, and we don't give each other enough credit day to day. And I really think if I was a higher being, let's assume that these things are top of the food chain, right? Intelligence. I would look at us more of a science experiment, or going to a zoo and seeing primates. You know what I mean? Like, you know, being like, oh, look at these dumb creatures, right? They haven't even invented time travel yet. So that's just my two cents.
Well, I would say if they came here, I mean, I don't know, the other planets, that there's really, I mean, talk about, you have a nightlife here, maybe go to the disco. Or
did you just refer to it as a disco?
Well, like the clubs. You go clubbing around here. Like, if you're an alien.
I think you just made me and your dad, my dad and your dad, pop about going to the disco.
Well, there is the Polish disco demon.
The Polish, got to be careful of the Polish disco demon, yes. John and Bob.
Got to be careful.
Got to be careful of that one.
Also, as well, I got to give a shout out to James here. No need to get manic. It's time for Count Panic.
That was
from James.
That's a 10 out of 10.
Pretty good.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. James from Peoria?
Yes.
Good
yes,
job, James. We appreciate that. That's wonderful. I'm a 10 out of 10 on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might need to throw that on your next Count Panic t-shirt. I'll
have to put that on the t-shirt.
Yeah, or your next t-shirt run.
How many letters do I got to pay for?
Think about that one. No need to panic.
Charged by
panic.
The letter. Yeah.
Something like that. All right, you ready to move on to
sure.
our next story? I have a big one I'm saving for last.
Oh.
This one's going to be very, very exciting. But our next one, speaking of us being kind of stupid animals, human beings, that's what I'm getting at here, is the story comes to us, and I found this one myself, and it's the concept of, is the Earth's heartbeat influencing human behavior? And this is the Schumann Renaissances. The story comes to us from The Big Think, written by Paul Ranter. Some scientists believe that the lightning-produced frequencies may be connected to our brainwaves, meditation, and hypnosis. Flashes of lightning that strike around the Earth about 50 times every second create a low frequency of electromagnetic waves that encompass the planet. These waves are dubbed the Schumann Renaissances. May have an effect on human behavior, scientists think. Kept up with by 2,000 or so thunderstorms that NASA believes batter our planet every moment, the Schumann Renaissances can be found in waves that go up to 60 miles above in the lower ionosphere part of our atmosphere. They stay up there thanks to electroconductivity, excuse me guys, this is a lot of words here, in the ionosphere that features charged ions separated from neutral gas atoms in the area by solar radiation, as explains interesting engineering. This allows for the ionosphere to capture the electromagnetic waves. Boy, that's a lot of words. The Schumann Renaissance encircles the Earth, repeating the beat which has been used to study the planet's electric environment, weather, and seasons. Flowing around the planet, the waves' crests and furrows align in a renaissance to amplify the initial signal. These waves were named after Winifred Otto Schumann in honor of his seminal work in the global renaissances in the mid-1950s. Back then, the concept was that they were able to measure these. I'll summarize this up because it's a lot of numbers. They were saying that this frequency was at a base of 7.83 hertz, and over time, these would be measured at around 14.3, 20.8, 27.3, and as of today, these actually get measured at 33.8 hertz. The renaissances fluctuate with variations in the ionosphere, which with the intensity of solar radiation playing a major part. At night, for example, that part of the ionosphere becomes thinner. The world's lightning hotspots, Asia, Africa, and South America, whose storms are seasonal and affected by the weather, its night or day, also influence the strength of the resonance. So in essence, we're going to summarize this one up.
Because I had a hard time following it.
There are, in loose terms, folks, I'm just a radio and podcast person. I'm not a meteorologist or somebody that studies these types of things. In essence, there are micro thunderstorms that happen all the time in our atmosphere and in our ionosphere, which that's the layers above the Earth's crust that keeps air in or electro charges, etc. Right? You follow me so far?
I hear what you're saying so far.
So in between these areas above the Earth, there are these micro thunderstorms that happen on a constant basis. And these things, the more they are charged, the more that the sun's kind of pumping energy onto our, ever dying atmosphere, whatever that might be, it's causing these things to fluctuate. And since this gentleman who discovered it once upon a time ago, it was a low hum, but over time in the 50, 60 years that this has been studied, the hum is becoming louder and it's becoming a little bit more erratic.
Yeah.
And they're saying that erratic behavior is changing our behavior as humans. And I cannot, for a fact of me, say I don't doubt that, but I want to hear your take on it.
So you're saying this thing is changing the every day we act, how we live daily?
It's changing how we act as a people.
Interesting.
As a species. And it's not just interacting with us, but it's the way the animals are acting. It's the way that the whole world acts as a whole. And it doesn't surprise me. But I want to know your take first.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I guess in life, look at the history of our time here, Bob. From there centuries before us, decades before us, to just a couple years ago. We have changed as humans.
Yes.
And we don't know, is that just because of the way society progressed? But you're saying there might be a higher power here reflecting something upon us that's making us change.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the thing dictates how we are day to day. But I could definitely see how something like this can affect a mood or change how our emotions work over time. People are a little bit more sensitive now. People are a little bit more aggressive now than they ever have been. People are becoming a little bit more erratic as the time goes on. If you look at 2020 as a whole, that really polarized people as a whole, right? You following
me? Yeah.
I don't doubt it that the more these things become intense, the more it makes people change. And it also doesn't surprise me that as these hums are becoming more and more, that we're getting more and more paranormal explosions in the world. There's more and more ghost sightings now. There's more and more cryptid sightings now. Is it surprising that the more that this energy level is fluctuating, and you get, even in paranormal, investigations, when we look at those things, you check for electrical currents, right?
Yeah.
Because it's literally, it draws things to it. If these things are humming and vibrating at such energies that we've never seen before, is it possible that it's drawing more paranormal energies to them.
That makes sense.
I would say yes. This makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, in a way there, Bob, I guess if you explain it like that, it's true. But we don't know for sure. This is a theory.
This is a current running theory amongst NASA scientists.
Yeah.
But out of all the things we talk about on the show, and sometimes we talk about these scientific studies and they're a little bit more hardcore, if you will, this one probably makes the most sense to me. And it's like, oh, well, that makes sense even in the world that me and you work in the paranormal world, why we've been seeing such a big surge in the odd that goes on around us. And I think this might honestly be a good answer to it. Why have there been more paranormal sightings, or just the world weird becoming more and more all-encompassing, if you will? You know, my skeptical dad is seeing a ghost now around the house. Why do you suppose that is?
Yeah.
And it's opening up his eyes to the world. Is it possible that these electrical hums are causing that to be a thing?
Maybe trying to give the skeptic a little convincing there is maybe possibly so. You never know, Bob. You never know.
Yeah. So, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
All right. So this last news story comes to us from Coast to Coast, our mother radio show, the long-running paranormal, extraterrestrial, weird radio show that's been going on longer than you and I have been alive. Used to be hosted by Art Bell, now by George Norrie. We talk about this on the week. George, or anybody that's listening that has a connection to George Norrie, please let me come on the show.
Well, you know, you have a couple connections, I feel, already.
Do I?
People that been on here.
Joe Diamond? Yeah. Joe Diamond was on there, yeah.
He was.
Yeah. So maybe, but anyway, Coast to Coast put out this news article, and this one was something I found, and I thought this was funny. And it is, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been named best celebrity to handle an alien invasion. This was written by Tim Bunnell. An odd survey asking which celebrity would be ideal person to handle an alien invasion found iconic actor Arnold Schwarzenegger taking the top spot. The weird poll, reportedly conducted by the British TV station Blaze as a part of their forthcoming UFO week, asked 2,000 residents of the country which star they felt most would be equipped to handle arrival of hostile ETs here on Earth. Perhaps in light of his dual status as both an action hero and a politician, the Terminator star came in first place, followed by Will Smith, who famously fended off the fictional invading aliens in the film Independence Day, or dealt with them diplomatically in Men in Black. Coming in eighth place was former President Donald Trump, ranked highest among world leaders, besting British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who was 12th, as well as Vice President Kamala Harris was 19, and current President Joe Biden, who is at the bottom of the top 20 list. We're not getting political. I refuse. I'm just reading the article. There is no, absolutely not. If you have a reasonable explanation for politics, that's fine. But we're not getting into that argument.
Sure.
I refuse. All right. Nope. All we're right. not doing it. As to how they personally handle the invasion, alien invasion, 26% of the respondents indicated that they would have gathered supplies to hopefully survive the situation, while a mere 10% said they would try to broker peace with the extraterrestrials, likely making them a cautionary first victims of the space siege. In response to his first place showing, Schwarzenegger looked at Twitter and declared, "I want to thank the people for putting their faith in me. I am ready to serve."
There you go.
Now, folks, I actually shared this news article before we went live on our fan page.
Yes.
Children of the Night, if you're going on there, going forward, the Children of the Night fan page is going to get one news article there before we report on it on the show. And I asked some of the Children of the Night, and I'm gonna do it again, which celebrities do you think would handle the situation best?
Good question.
And I asked Count Panic this before the show.
Yeah.
I said, hey, come up with your top three, so time saving, who you would want to have to deal with that situation.
Well, it's interesting, Bob, because you could have, you know, you could make, I'm trying to think of logical answers here. Celebrity that would help in that situation. And, you know, Betty White could be a goofy answer, but Betty White's not going to help me out here.
Betty White actually made my short list. She did, for diplomatic reasons. Yeah. We don't need to go into this guns a-blazing.
Okay, well, here's what I think.
Okay.
You got... Take some... You think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a good choice because he's the action hero.
He had a political background, so he's both diplomatic
But do they have to have a political background?
They don't, but you got to think of it... And I'm not going to take the shine away from you because I want you to reveal your list first. I think you have to have a good balance of hostility, maybe not hostility, but sense of defense and diplomatic. Because if you have one or the other, you might get taken advantage of, might get yourself, get yourself killed, or you might get us all killed if you're a little
too hostile.
I'm going
to try to do maybe action people, but they're good talkers too. So something like Nicolas Cage, I think would be a good one. Why? What's wrong with Nicolas Cage?
Just go.
He wanted to steal the Declaration.
What's your reasoning?
Independence there. I'm just saying he could kind of talk his way out of a situation too. Liam Neeson's a good choice as well. Because Liam Neeson, you can't go wrong with Liam Neeson movie. I know it's all the same thing every time.
You know he's dead.
Liam Neeson?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think Leslie Nielsen. My apologies. Liam Neeson is not dead, folks. I didn't report that. I'm sorry. I misheard.
No. Although, in this scenario, do they have to be living? I guess you would want them living. But Liam Neeson, of course, every movie about the same. Somebody wrongs his family. He goes out to defend his family, tries to bring his family back and unite the family all together. But, he'll get on the phone with you. He'll kind of negotiate some stuff. Like, he will find you. He will kill you. Although it's not really negotiating, I guess, because
it's negotiating.
He's basically saying, "Hey, this is what's going to happen here."
Yeah,
and then he'll go out and do it. He'll save the day. He'll save his family, and he could save us at the end of the day as well. So we got Nicolas Cage, Liam Neeson, and oh boy, I don't know. Let's see a third one. Samuel L. Jackson, because why the heck not? He could get or The Rock. The Rock. That's four. Now we're getting crazy here.
Would you like to know mine?
Sure.
Number one. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Ah, okay. Okay.
He's made my number one spot.
Okay.
He is a lovable, talkable guy. He's very light on his feet when it comes to his words. He's not overtly aggressive. But I think if push came to shove, Dwayne The Rock Johnson would be my pick for that one.
Okay. The Rock was a good choice. I threw him in there at the end. Him and Samuel L. Jackson possibly there, but... good choice. The Rock is a very good choice right there.
Okay. My second choice, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Now, why Meryl Streep?
This was a toss-up between Meryl Streep or Glenn Close.
Okay.
I think Liz, one of our fans, Liz, was on the fan page, and she was typing out, sometimes masculinity can be a little too much, so you might get a little much out of that. So I was thinking about feminine qualities in a woman that I think would bring a good balance to the show. Hmm. And I was thinking, like an action star like Scarlett Johansson, something along them lines. And I'm like, wait a second.
That's what I was thinking too.
But if we put somebody in like Meryl Streep or Glenn Close, they're both brilliant actresses. And both of them can carry their own. And Meryl Streep's been involved with Hollywood for a very long time. And she knows how to handle herself in a situation. I would say that Meryl Streep is a good, or Glenn Close, they're both good. They fit one in the same here. Either one, I think, can talk their way into a situation and be able to deflect it and bring it down to a level where we can have it, where it would be copacetic for both ends.
Yeah.
If it turns out to be a peaceful thing, I think both their acting careers and just their general know-how of dealing with a situation could become peaceful, and if it's leaning more towards hostile, they could bring that balance back up or move us to be able to deal with an oncoming threat.
So you're okay. So you want, all right. See, I just went for action people, but they could talk at the end of the day. I feel like Liam Neeson could talk his way out of a hot and heavy discussion there, hot and heavy situation.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but there's so many choices here, Bob. I feel like. Go down the line.
Going down the line.
Yeah.
Okay, my number three. Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Logical.
Same thing we were talking about. Will Smith, that action hero, but he's got a lot of passion in his words. And I think he's got like a good no-nonsense feeling to him. So that would be why I would pick Will Smith kind of as my number third.
Now, what Will Smith from what era Our Fresh Prince Will Smith or
Men in Black?
Men in Black.
Men in Black. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's going to be a whole topic there too. What version of these stars, celebrities, do you want defending you into battle? Because The Rock, you know, much different Rock now than back in, say, 1995 when he's starting off a wrestling career. But you want current day Rock, I assume. Not
yes, I want current Rock. Day. I want current day Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the actor.
Okay, sure. All right, fair. Good choices, Bob.
Thank you. Now, folks, we're going to continue this chat into the Children of the Night Facebook page. You guys can go on facebook.com/Children of the Night. One of us, or James, if he's listening right now, could somebody put the link up in the chat for you guys to, you know, click like. I want to see your answers. Post them up. Say what your top three actors or political figures, who they are and why. Real quick. We're not starting a political fight. If I go on there and I see a political fight, I'm shutting that down real quick. Real quick.
Now, what if it's like Abe Lincoln or somebody like that?
I'm fine with it. And if they want to pick a controversial figure in the world of politics, fine. Have good reasoning. Have good reasoning for it. I'll let it stay. But don't go in there guns a-blazing picking a fight with one party or the other. I ain't about it. I got no time for that.
No.
Not on our show. But you're entitled to your opinion.
There were several other shows here throughout the day. Good heck, you could do that.
Absolutely. Thank you. You can go on the afternoon rush hour.
No, well, or the morning show as well.
The morning show. You guys could go there. Yeah, go bother Jed, our boss here, or you could bother Count Panic during his afternoon show.
Sure.
And then you can bother them with it.
Yes.
But not here. This is not the show for it.
Abe Lincoln, I get, and these have to be living celebrities, correct?
No, I mean, I get. Let's assume that time travel's not a thing right now, and right. You can't bring back a political figure, so they have to be alive. Those are my rules.
Okay, fine.
They have to be alive.
Right. There you go.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Whew, Count Panic, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. For our live fans at home, stick around, because we're going to be right back. And for the podcast listeners, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be hearing. Stick around.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host Nick Floyd every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Hi, Count.
Hey, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
During break, I met up with Liam Neeson to talk some strategy.
And to tell me he wasn't dead.
Yeah. He's very excited.
Tell Bob I'm not dead.
He says he's a... Yeah.
I apologize. I thought you said Leslie Nielsen. It just didn't click.
Wow, he's very...
He's probably disgruntled. Mr. Neeson, I am sorry. I did not mean to report. It's not one of those fake hoax death reportings.
No.
I promise. It was a mistaken naming.
Well, surely he's very serious about this, Bob.
Sure.
Yes.
And don't call me Shirley.
There you go.
That little pun there. Would you like to know what I did?
What'd you do?
I talked to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What did he say?
He said he's willing to step up and lead America, or lead not just America, but the world in first contact with the extraterrestrials.
Well, he's on it now.
Yep.
So, okay, well, I'll see you in the final battle, Bob.
Absolutely. All right, Count Panic.
Yeah.
We have two reviews.
Let's hear them.
So we have two reviews. Folks, this is the part of the show where we celebrate you, the fans, on reviews that you're leaving for us on Apple Podcasts. If you're leaving us a 5-star review or a 1-star review, we'll read them live on the show. But the 5-star reviews are going to get toasted by Count Panic himself, and we do have two of them. But before we do that, we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to have them straight on the show. If Count Panic could just send them straight on over. Okay. Nope. We're going to go on through it. And then after this, we're going to actually have a discussion about the a paranormal happening that one of our fans actually talked in about. And told us a little story when I was featured on a radio show this week on WJOB impromptu. Are we ready for the caller on the caller?
Yes, you know, we have a caller on the line now, Bob.
All right, who do we have?
We have John on the line here. John.
John, you're on the air, as always.
Hey there, Bob. How are you this evening?
Doing good, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, sorry, your dad has a ghost in the house there?
Yeah, we think Uncle Lenny's kicking around. Yeah,
Uncle Lenny. I think I remember Uncle Lenny.
Yeah, Uncle Lenny. We think he's been kicking around since his unfortunate passing last year, but we think Uncle Lenny's still kicking around.
So are you? I mean, are you? How are you taking this? Are you looking into this? Or I mean,
we looked into it briefly. He's not something. It gives my dad calm when he's at home. And it's not an unwelcome spirit, so Uncle Lenny is more than welcome to hang out at the house. It's not somebody I'm ready to kick out. He's welcome to hang out there and keep Dad company.
Yeah, that's good. You know, when you were on the afternoon show the other day, somebody asked you a question. I think you categorized it in three different ways. And I don't know how exactly you referenced it, but like you gave an example of you see a ghost in the house. Every day at 3 o'clock going up the stairs, you know, it's called something. Then you gave two other examples. I don't know if you recall that or not. But,
yeah.
Let's say you have, you know, a ghost is seen every day in the house. Can that ghost feel or sense tension in a house? Let's say there's always arguing or maybe, you know, it's something other hanky-panky going on in that house every day. Could they sense that? You know, do they have any kind of feeling towards that? Do they? Maybe it's stupid to say. Do they want it quiet, or does that bother them that a husband and a wife are fighting every day?
Your environment can dictate the energy that you put around you, John. If it's a positive energy or a negative energy, if it's something lingering that wants peace and quiet or calm or a happy energy in the presence, they may make their presence known and tell you to calm down. You know, there's been plenty of cases I've heard where if two people are fighting, something falls out of a cabinet or something, and you know that there's an argument to be made that they're causing that themselves, but. And just to quickly summarize, it's possible, and I would say that an intelligent haunting that wants it to be quiet or at least have a positive vibe that they can hang out in, or if it wants chaos and negativity for them to eat off of, it's a low vibration kind of an entity, then they're going to cause a little bit of chaos and harm to kind of bring that about.
Now, can it be the opposite where it would make them want to leave?
No, I would say that they're just going to try to dictate how they want things done.
Okay. Yeah, I know you brought those examples up, and you're talking about the thunder and that. So I was just wondering, what reaction does that all play in, you know, as far as ghosts are concerned, with noises and, you know, emotions of other people that are in a household where they're at also, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Nope. So that's my answer, John, and I'm sticking to it.
All righty. Good show as always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Sure.
Absolutely. Who? Do we have another caller?
Kyle? No. But that was the thing, Bob. You know, you did do a stint on the afternoon show.
We're going to get to
it. We're going to get to it. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Real quick, guys. Our phone lines are open 219-845-1100. If you're listening in podcast land, you can call in when recording live and you can hear your question being asked on air. Or if you have a comment, question, concern, you can hear yourself talk. Or if you're listening to the live show, you can call in. Put Count Panic to work back there.
Sure.
219-845-1100. Well, let's get to our reviews.
Yes.
We have two reviews.
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, our first one, I think, counts because I'm 98% sure this person wrote a review before and then since edited it, but it re-popped up at the top of the feed.
Okay.
So we're just going to re-cheers them.
Sure.
And that's okay. It's fine, but let's not make a habit of that because I remember who writes the reviews. This one is from Shira, 1981, left us a 5-star review. And the only reason why I missed this last week when we did it, because I saw the name and I said, didn't they review before? But I looked down and the review was missing. So maybe there was a technical hiccup with Apple Podcasts.
Could be.
Doesn't surprise me. Yes. So they write, creepy and informative is the title of this review. Bob After Dark is creepy and informative. Bob has an awesome, smooth voice that just sets the tone.
I've heard this.
Always with the smooth voice.
Reread this review because you wanted to hear somebody
I just
say
wanted to hear
voice.
I had a smooth voice. Wait till the next one. You're going to get a laugh.
Right.
And Count Panic always puts a big smile on my face. I really enjoy the show and highly recommend it. Recommend it. It's nice to hear to wind down a stressful day with Bob and Count Panic. Thank you. 5 stars.
Yeah, there
so you. Thank you, Shira 1981. We're going to cheers to that in 1 second because we have another review.
All right.
This one comes to us from Peeps 420, 5-star review. Left on Stone Cold Steve Austin Day real quick. I found this funny in Peeps and stuff. Getting there. 5-star review says, solid show, definitely a must listen. Like Coast to Coast AM, but funnier. Bob is extremely knowledgeable about each topic, even though I am fairly certain he's Mothman. Gee, thanks. Count Panic adds a real down-to-earth side to the show as well. Great variety of guests and topic. Needs more professional wrestler Steve Michaels, though. And I asked Steve, I said, was that you leaving that review? And Steve assured me it's not.
Well, that's a fan.
But someone is a fan of Steve Michaels and specifically requested him. But Peeps 420, Shira 1981, thank you guys so much for the reviews. That's a real big, nice pickup and made me feel good. So cheers to you from Count Panic and myself and the entire Bob After Dark family. You two are our featured children of the night of the week.
Shira and Peeps, thank you very much.
Thank you much. That's good H2O.
Mm. That's what it is.
That's what I'm drinking.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Of course, you know, real quick before we move on to the paranormal story of the week here, I just want to say every review I hear about somebody saying I have a smooth voice makes me feel really good inside, folks.
It's smooth as a butter. Wouldn't you say?
What?
Butter's smooth, right? You cut through your voice like a knife.
Oh, my God.
Something like that. I think that's a compliment.
I'll take it as a compliment.
Butter.
Butter.
Yeah.
I have a smooth voice like butter. I'll take it. 10 out of 10. But man, that always makes me feel good when I hear about the smooth voice comments. Because, man, if there's one thing I could do is giving you all a smooth voice.
You got to do audiobook.
I've always wanted to record an audiobook.
There you have it.
I don't know if you guys are upcoming authors and you're publishing something. Get at me. I'm a cheap
date. You know one guy, don't you?
Jack. You said his name. When Jack's audiobook comes off, he does not pick me to record his audiobook. I'm doing his forward.
And I'm doing the backward.
Forgot about that. Folks, if you want to cheers on the show and become the featured children of the night, of the week, that's two prepositions,
sure.
But we're fine with it. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The 5-star reviews are very, very important to us right now as we're working towards sponsorships. We're finally at the neck of them. We're finally at the point of these things are going to become a reality. I'm going to get back on the road. Bob After Dark is going to become my full-time job. And for that to happen, I need a little bit more discovery. And how discovery works sometimes is the more reviews we get on Apple, the more we show up in people's recommended shows to listen to. And we fall in an interesting category between like arts and education and historical podcasts. So you guys can die.
How do you combine those?
I don't know, but we're there. So folks, if you guys get a chance, check out the world of Apple Podcasts. Even if you don't listen to us on that platform, you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We will cheers you on the show. And if you leave us a 1-star, that's fine. But I won't, you know, we get the point. But we're going to move on to a viewer listener story real quick before we get, after we get to this call.
Sure.
And then we're getting to the lore of the week. So who do we have on the line?
Well, you know, you said his name and here he is.
He's early. He is early. Jack, you're on the air.
You summon me and look what happens.
Hello, Jack.
Say his name 3 times.
Jack Juice, Jack Juice, Jack Juice. How's it going, Jack?
How are you guys doing? I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good. How'd your bar crawl go that you were hosting on St. Paddy's Day?
Oh, it didn't go.
We're sorry, Jack. I didn't mean to be like that. I was hoping you were going to be like, oh, it was great.
Oh, yeah. I had forgotten about it, then you brought it up, and I was
like, great. Now I feel like a jerk. Thanks.
Yeah, no, you didn't get enough sangha, but that's okay. This is going to be a next time.
So what's on your mind tonight, Jack?
I wanted to bring up the news article that you did. It wasn't the first one about the ghostly phenomena and, you know, it was combined with science.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to, read you a little something. It's very brief. Don't worry.
No, you're fine. It's good. You're calling at 10 o'clock and not 11 o'clock, so I'm awake.
Okay. So just real quick. So electrical charges rushing across the skin create an ion wind. This produces a cool or cold sensation on the flesh. It is a result not just of moving air, but also moving electrical particles. Ion wind has another bizarre quality. As this current of energy passes over your flesh, not only is it cold, but it actually feels like you're being touched. Sometimes in demonstrations, I'll tell you the writer in a second. Sometimes in demonstrations, I have a volunteer from the audience turn away from me. I lift an electrostatic generator and blow a quick ion wind across the person's shoulder. The subject always thinks he or she has been touched on the back. I've experienced that sensation several times in haunted houses. The hair on the back of my neck will stand. So this was from writer Joshua P. Warren. He is a longtime ghost hunter, ghost researcher, and he combines ghost phenomena with science, and he does a lot of science experiments. I've alluded to before on your show that I'm in the middle of doing experiments, and I'm still trying to work out some kinks, but I really think this could go. Now I think I know a lot of skeptics. If our friend Pat is listening to this from
Hi,
the Pat. Podcast, he might say something to the effect of, "Oh well, that just proves that it's all science and not paranormal." But I say that they can be, there's a coincidence there, paranormal and science. I think if anything, this helps prove the concept of ghosts, that ghosts are able to manifest using ions in the air. That's how they absorb from the environment and are able to manifest. And depending on their strength, they're able to even communicate or interact with us. And if it's low energy, then it's just like a cold sensation or just a brief touch, as this article was saying. So yeah, I was really interested in what you had to read too. Like, it's just fascinating, the science behind paranormal phenomena.
Do you think with NASA studying this electrical current that's stuck in the ionosphere, do you think my theory of this, this electrical current growing in size, do you think that's causing the more paranormal phenomena that we're seeing recently? Do you buy into my theory here?
Yeah, it definitely could be it. I posted on my Facebook group that there's been an uptick in UFO sightings in Illinois, and I was talking to Sam Maranto, who is the Illinois State Director for MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. And we were talking just earlier, and he said, the UFO sightings in Illinois has risen up considerably, but he didn't know what to attribute that to. So maybe it's what you were reading earlier.
Sure. Jack, real quick, you do have a new Facebook group going around specifically targeting the Chicagoland paranormal scene. I want you to pitch that real quick and plug it on the show before we move on.
Sure. So my Facebook group is called Paranormal Chicago. Please join it. And there's been some discussions. I'm posting on a regular basis. And you could contact me at parachicago.com. And there is a website that will be in place as soon as I could get it done. But yeah, Paranormal Chicago on Facebook.
Excellent. Thank you so much for calling in, Jack. We really appreciate you.
Thanks guys. See ya.
Excellent. Jack's great. 10 out of 10.
Yes.
I forgot to ask him about the audiobook.
The audiobook.
Well, I'll text him later.
Yeah, text him.
All right, let's move on. Real quick, guys, this past week I had the opportunity to be a guest star on the Region Rush Hour.
You came on, Bob.
I came on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought Count Panic and their producer is called Tony.
Who was that guy?
Tony and Sam, they host a midday show where they talk about politics and
some
political some political turmoil stuff. So I came
turmoil, though. We're all in turmoil, Bob.
they have some controversial topics,
hot takes
on things, and that's fine. There's no, I listen to their show regularly. It's good stuff for that kind of realm.
Sam loves his hot takes,
Sam's good at what he does. But I was a guest on this week's episode, one of the episodes this past week on their show, where I came on and we talked a little bit about what I do and our show here on Tuesday nights.
And it's interesting because you get a different take sometimes during the day. We have, of course, a loyal fan base.
Yeah.
But you get people calling in and be like, hey, this is pretty cool, Bob. Let's hear more about this guy. So,
yeah.
And you did get a couple of new people chime in and wondering what it was all about.
And we had one caller who gave us permission to share her story on the show, because we haven't had a viewer-submitted story in a while. This story actually – do you remember her name?
Deb.
I knew it was a D, and I was going to say Dawn, but Deb came out. Deb called in, and she shared an experience with us that her sister passed away, unfortunately, semi-recently. And Deb was going through the motions of her passing. And Deb was just, she was feeling really just down about it. Mm-hmm. Now, before her sister's passing, Deb actually came to her and said, you know, if one of us goes, we need a sign that you're still lurking around or hanging around or can still say hi. And they made a pact that if one of them goes before the other and they wanted an opportunity to share that they were still around, that they would do it with some sort of signal of birds. And Deb, one day, she was feeling real down and out, and she said there were some experiences around the home. So she went outside, and Deb asked for her sister to make a sign that she was still kicking around. And Deb told us, at that moment, was it a robin?
I believe it was.
A robin came up and landed on the...
Landed right there.
Right there in front of her, and looked at her for a little bit and flew right off. And she was like, and she asked me if there's anything in kind of in comparison with Pax and death. And I told her the story about Harry Houdini and his wife. When Harry Houdini was, you know, getting ready to pass on, he said, you know, if you're going to look for my spirit, and I'm really summarizing the story, I'm going to give you a code word. And if you ever reach out to a psychic or a medium and they ever say they contacted my spirit, ask for the code word. And his wife knew it, but she never shared it.
Yeah.
And she, you know, they never heard that. Deb never heard that story before. But it, in essence, that stuff does kind of come up. And that's just a good, good, full-hearted story of, you know, death backs.
Relief. But, you know, and that's a very touching story. But is it? I always hear this, too. Some people say, well, you shouldn't ask for signs. And there's a lot of people that ask for signs out there, but then sometimes they don't get the sign they want, and that leaves them bummed out. Is it proper? Is that okay to ask for, hey, I need a sign from above?
I think it depends. If you're a religious person, you know, sometimes that's questioning your faith, and you probably shouldn't do that if you're a religious person. If you're more spiritual, sometimes you have to ask for a sign for something to interact with you. In paranormal investigations, I'm very adamant about, hey, are you here? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, let me know you're here. I'm warning you. I told you this from the word go. If I go before you, I'm coming back and I'm ruining your life.
Hopefully in a good way, though.
Man, anytime you find out who's hosting Bob After Dark after I'm gone.
It's going to be Evil Bob.
And whoever's hosting that show, I'm coming back every Tuesday. I'm going to be pounding on walls.
I'm going to find it. It's going to have to be a Bob. I mean, we're going to have to get a Bob.
If it's not Bob, it's fine. You can still call the show Bob After Dark after I'm gone. I'm going to be a little mad if you change the name.
But it's not. But
it's fine. Just
Bob After Dark.
Listen, hosted by somebody else. Yeah. You could just call it the After Dark.
Sure.
Man. That's fine. But listen, if you can find a new host for the show, that's fine and dandy. I'm ruining their life too, but specifically yours.
Make sure of it then.
So, folks, if you have a paranormal experience that you want to share with us, you can email us, bobafterdarkshow@gmail.com. Slide into our DMs on social media, facebook.com/BobAfterDark or Instagram @BobAfterDark.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Lots of ways.
And this, folks, is why we're splitting up the show into two segments, because we're getting to the lore of the week after an hour and 6 minutes.
We like to build anticipation.
Absolutely. But this is why we need to split the podcast into two. So we have, you know, that's an opportunity for people to check it out. Jack says if I go, he's going to be hosting Jack After Dark.
Jack After
Oh, that's fine, but I'm coming back and ruining your life.
You could call in from beyond the grave.
I will call. Trust me. If I have any ability in the afterlife to come back and screw with you, oh, I'm coming back.
Can ghosts make phone calls, Bob?
Yeah, they're ghostly phone calls. That's a whole thing. We'll have to do an episode on
ghostly
it sometime.
Phone calls.
All right, we're in Faelor month.
Yes.
Yes, and Faelor month, we talk about the Fae.
Now, how can we top last week's episode, Bob? You had the ultimate Fae, a real humdinger,
the leprechaun. Well, this time we're talking about a creature very similar to one we did a couple of weeks ago about the Kelpie. But
okay,
we're going to be talking about something a little different.
Different than the Kelpie.
But close.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about the Pooka.
The Pooka.
The Pooka.
Not the Polka.
Not to be confused with the native dance of Mine and Count Panic's people.
The Pooka. And these aren't Pookas doing the Polka either. So
it could be a Pooka doing a Polka, I guess.
What the heck's a Pooka?
Well, Count Panic, if you remember back when we were just a mere Facebook Live radio show before we had podcast and Jed TV and all that other good stuff, before we were TV stars, we were radio stars, and we covered the Pooka way back when.
It does sound familiar.
But it's coming back up, and I'm glad you don't take notes.
Pooka, a name like that is distinct, and I do recall the reference, but I can't tell you what the heck a Pooka is.
All right, well, let's begin, shall we?
Sure.
The Pooka is a creature of Celtic folklore. Barely, though, considered to be the bringers of both good and bad fortune. They are typically found in rural and maritime communities, so around large bodies of water or dense forest. They are considered a shapeshifter, just like a lot of the different fae creatures are. This one actually takes the shape of horses, goats, cats, dogs, and hares. They can take human form, but if they do take human form, it will include some various features of animals. So if a Pooka takes human form, maybe they'll have the ears of a hare or a cat. In which case, that would mean that somebody out there's wildest fantasies about cat girls can become true. Could be a Pooka. You don't want that. Pooka may actually get their term from the Norse term poke, or nature spirit. Once upon a time ago, they were said to be very numerous, coming in forms of wild colts with chains hanging around their neck. They are extremely mischievous creatures. They entice humans to take a ride on their backs, and upon arriving on their back, it's not a simple ride of a horse, but it's not as devastating as what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the Kelpie. This time, they'll go off running full speed through forests, water, just rampant levels, speeds, and spinning around, just giving you the ride of your life before actually dropping the person off. The Pooka, once upon a time ago, only targeted a certain group of people. Now, back before that, we're going to get to that why here in a moment, but
yeah.
Pooka, these days, when you hear a story about them, they typically only target adulterers, drunks, and ladies or gentlemen of the night.
Oh.
So, in PG terms, if you were about to go cheat on your significant other.
While drunk.
I guess if you were drunk, that's a double whammy.
Yeah.
And you were walking home from the party that you're being, doing the cheating on.
Yeah.
And you were walking home, you may be approached by a Pooka.
A Pooka. Not the police, but the Pooka.
The Pooka. Yeah. And the Pooka might come to you and entice to get on their back, and you just might be like, hey, it's a talking hare, but it's big enough for me to ride on.
Well, if you're drinking, this is
a possibility in general, but we're going to get to that one second.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just, sober committing adultery, you're going to think this is kind of weird, but if you've had a few drinks, this might be like, you know what, this is pretty inviting here.
That's the second thing. If you're a drunk, or just had a long night, which me and you have both had. You and I have experienced those together in our travels. You might get done drinking after a long night and look down, and there is a talking hare that's big enough to. And that's their favorite form to take.
It's happened a couple times.
The Pooka likes to take the form of the hare.
Yeah.
And it's just like, hey, you want to ride home? Ah! It's talking rabbit. It's like tricks. I'm going to ride the rabbit.
Yeah.
And then you get on the rabbit and you sober up real quick as this thing takes off running and up and down inclines across water through woods, just rampant speeds.
Yeah. Do we know what how many miles per hour it gets up to?
No, we weren't measuring things back then. But if you were one of those things, or if you were a lady or gentleman of the night, a paid-to-be suitor, I'm trying to be PG here. The
not to be confused with the creature of the night. That's the fan base.
That's the that's yes. the children of the night. Oh my God!
I'm thinking about the Undertaker now. Yeah.
If you were a part of that kind of culture too, you might be walking back from a job, and we're just going to leave it at that. You might come across one of these creatures, and they will come to you and appear to you in a very appealing form, just to entice you to get onto their back.
Yeah.
Now, the Puka comes off a bit on the mischievous side. We talked a little bit about their rides, but it's not always, the stories we hear aren't always bad. So, there is a very popular story, and it's a good deed that a Puka once did, and they worked with a group of people on the Padraig farms. And the Padraig family's son, the oldest son of the farmer, knew of a bull that he knew was a Puka. So this Puka took a form of a bull, and this bull lived on this farm. And the son picked up on some certain characteristics of this bull of blending into its environment. But the son never wanted to come out and outright say it was a Puka, but it wanted to catch it in the act. And eventually the son waited up one night and took in the hiding and would trying to catch it to like to do something. So they would, you know, he would mill some sacks of corn or flour or something to get like to kind of treat the Puka well, but also try to catch it in the act. So he would leave this Puka offerings, but would also try to pay attention. But unfortunately for him, he fell asleep. Every time he went to go and he would feed this bull or leave this bull an offering, he would always fall asleep.
Interesting. Which tends to happen sometimes. I mean, we're not
about
falling asleep here.
One time he didn't fall asleep.
Didn't fall asleep.
And the boy actually caught the Puka shape-shifting. This kind of gave the Puka a little bit of a scare, and the Puka revealed itself to the boy. Appreciative of its offerings that the boy was always leaving for the Puka didn't cause the boy any harm. Rather, it decided it was going to, as he said to the boy, the Puka said, it was going to go see a little of the world, and it never returned. So it ran off and to the night and was never to be found again. After that, the farmer's family gained great wealth. The farmer retired early and actually was able to give the son a decent education. One day, the boy grew up to be able to marry on his own. And on his day of his wedding day, he received a mysterious gift that he could not explain. It was a cup made of solid gold, filled with drink that never emptied. No matter how much he drank from this cup, it never emptied.
That sounds, depends what's in the cup, but that sounds like it could be a good problem there.
It sounds like a great problem to me, depending on what kind of liquid that's filled up with. PBR.
Sure. Never-ending PBR.
Yeah.
That might be dangerous for you, Bob.
That sounds like a wild night to me. That boy ended up living a very, very happy life, and that he knew where that gift came from. He knew that the Puka came back for his wedding day just to give him that gift because the boy left him, you know, a gift.
Yeah.
He left him offerings all the time just to try to see if he transformed.
Yeah.
But he did, and the Puka ran off. But that's a good story that the Puka did.
Happy
now, keep in mind, guys, just like every good story I ever share with you, you don't think that's going to last, do you?
You can't end on a good note, no.
No. So, much like the Kelpie, where we were talking about not last week, the week before, The Puka does not like other Fae. It actually hates them. So you will find a lot of times that the Puka will try to distract other Fae or kind of get in the scuffles or cause any problems with the Fae creatures. And it specifically hates to see when humans are being attacked by Fae, because the Pukas believe that if the humans are their cattle, that's their target. So if they see something like a leprechaun or a kelpie, you know, causing a human pain, they'll step in and kind of roughhouse with the other Fae because they want to be the ones that cause us pain. Never-ending fighting to cause us pain and suffering. Typically, the Puka are often depicted with dark fur, even when shape-shifted. Their favorite form is, well, a hare or a horse. If you're lucky enough to catch a Puka and it is enjoying its time with you, Pukas love to talk. They will talk and talk and talk. In fact, while you are riding on the Puka and they decide to give you the wild ride of your life, they'll have a complete conversation with you during that ride. And they're a big, big fan of giving good advice. And if you're lucky enough, a Puka will actually give you prophecies as well. So they'll predict the future or give you some sort of hint at what your, you know, what your days to come will lead. What's your take on that?
The shape? Well, I don't know. If I'm getting the ride of, like, say, okay, I'm on this Puka, right? And they're going off to the woods and across the landscapes, and they're as fast as possible. The last thing I want to do is have a conversation or hear this Puka talk. I've already, you know, my goal is to get off this Puka as soon as possible. It's going to have a conversation with me? I mean, are we going to, does it talk fast too? I mean,
I'm assuming. I didn't find any research that would beg the differ if it talked fast as well, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I would like to think that it would just carry on a normal conversation with you while you're being taken on the ride.
Well, is that
life
bad or a good thing? Like, at least you could ask what's going on around here, and the Puka might say, hey, you know what? This is where you're going. This is what's happening. Maybe put your mind at ease there, but I don't know. It might be come off as annoying, I feel like.
So you're going to be annoyed by this creature.
I feel like I'm already annoyed by the Puka. I'm just trying to have a good night on the town. And the Puka is really killing the vibe here. This is targeting. My drinking habits.
Now, it is said that you never actually say goodbye to a Puka.
How
because
so?
If you say goodbye, it just disappears. So okay. Mid-conversation, if you're like, hey, I gotta go, and it's not done talking to you, it'll disappear and never come back.
Well, that's not bad. If you don't want to see the Puka anymore.
No, but it's just like, I'm done. You know what, dude? I gotta go.
So it's that simple?
If you're only conversing with it, it's not like, you know, you're stuck on the ride, or if you're talking past Puka, which we're about to get to, you know, but if you're just in the middle of conversation and you're just like, you know, I gotta catch a train and I'm going somewhere, and you say goodbye, the Puka will never come back to you as a big sign of disrespect.
Wow.
Listen to it talk. Get through that conversation.
But is that just you being polite at the end of the day? I mean, nothing bad is going to happen to you if you tell the Puka you're done talking. The Puka is just going to disappear.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're not going to have a... Like, you're not going to be cursed for the rest of your life, though, right?
It'll disappear. You're not going to get the fortune from the Puka.
Oh, this is what you want, the fortune.
You want... Because the Puka is going to give you good advice.
Oh.
And it's going to give you prophecies. If you want to get to that part, you got to listen to its stories.
He's going to tell you to stop drinking.
That's the
prophecy.
We're going to get to that
part. Oh, okay.
Yep. Did you know that the Pukas actually have their own holiday?
No.
Celebrated? Yeah. So Pukas are normally seen right around Samhain, or as we call it, Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, or whatever you want to call it. Pukas are bigly found around that time. It is said that on October 31st, and you're out doing one of these things, that the Puka will come to you more often than not. That's when they're mostly seen. And then, you know, probably something along the lines of the veil being at its thinnest.
Of course.
that you'll see more pukas than normal. But the day after, November 1st, it is said that that is Puka Day.
Puka Day.
Puka Day.
How do we celebrate this day?
You don't.
Oh.
The Puka Day is the day where you celebrate the puka.
Okay.
So, during the Samhain times, we're talking, that's a real big, like, harvest. You want to harvest your crop and you get yourself ready for winter, right? You gotta get yourself enough food that's going to survive the winter months, because that's the time of death, right? Not death, but just, that's the quiet time. So you need to get yourself prepped and ready. So, while you're prepping your harvest, it is said that you're supposed to leave yourself enough, like, rows of crop for the puka, because if you don't leave them a few rows or stalks from your harvest, you will incur what is called the puka's wrath.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No. The puka's wrath.
What is the puka's wrath?
Lots of things. Rain on a sunny day?
That's not good.
That's a puka coming. A strange frost coming overnight and killing all of your crops? And only leaving strange berries left behind? That's the puka's wrath. By the way, don't eat the berries that the puka leaves behind.
Okay.
Don't eat them.
Just poisonous, sir?
You'll die.
You'll die, so poisonous. You'll die,
so don't eat the puka. Don't eat the puka berry.
As delicious as it sounds, the puka berry... quite deadly.
Oh, it gets worse.
Worse.
The puka, if you don't leave the puka several rows of harvest, the sinister side grows, and they hold a grudge. They'll start turning into forms of horses or colts, and they'll start ravaging the countrysides, destroying fences and fields, and ripping up crops, killing other livestock. So make sure on Puka Day, you leave several rows of your harvest in order for you not to actually cause the other issues.
Okay.
Other things that the Puka do that you will, you know, eventually get their wrath. The Puka can cause they'll cause the cows to produce spoiled milk and the chickens to lay no eggs. Which means you'll starve to death or not be able to have enough money if you're a dairy farmer or a chicken farmer to not have enough, you know, food or drink to either A, kill you and your family, or B, not have enough money where you're going to die of starvation and dehydration. So, long story short,
that makes sense.
Don't do that.
Although a puka berry does sound...
Don't eat the puka
okay,
berry!
Don't eat the puka berries. Okay.
Because it's said that that's actually an essence of the anger of the puka spirit.
We wouldn't want that.
No.
No.
So avoid the puka berry.
Avoid it at all costs.
Now, once upon a time ago,
yeah,
it wasn't as organized as just dealing with it on Puka Day. This was a rampant problem that went on constantly. In fact, a lot of the people that lived in the areas where the puka were common were ravished by these things constantly. So... imagine not even just on the 1st of November when you're not leaving crop. Let's say every time you try to go harvest your crop and you don't leave enough for them. Imagine dealing with the puka's wrath every week. So imagine, I didn't leave enough corn this one time. But guess what? Your cow's not going to produce milk anymore. Your chickens aren't going to lay eggs. So your family's going to starve.
Probably.
Oh, and here's some berries that you're going to go desperate enough to eat, and then you're going to be inflicted with the puka spirit. Or, hey, guess what? I see you're just kind of walking around. How about I entice you to get on my back, and I'm just going to make you go on this wild ride and cause you heart attacks.
So I get. The puka, at first I thought the puka would maybe be a simple creature.
Oh, no.
But as you go on and on here, it seems to be something you don't want to mess with. I thought you could just break up, you know, stop talking, puka. I'm out of here. Puka will disappear. That'd be the end of your problem.
Goodbye.
Yes, but that's not the case here.
No.
Okay.
So it finally took a guy, and the story goes that there was this high king named Brian Boru, who was this big, strong, burly king, and he was fed up with the Puka wrath. He was fed up with the nonsense and this, you know, his the chaos that his kingdom was causing. Is everything okay back there?
Yeah.
Okay,
just making sure the recording.
Thanks for scaring me back there. So this king grabbed a hold. He got one, finally. This Puka enticed him to get on his back. And this king had something up his sleeve, which we're going to share in just a moment. The king actually grabbed three strands of the Puka's hair, dug it into the ground during the ride, and forced the Puka into submission. And this High King Brian Boru said, "No more." And there was negotiation set where he said, "You know, it is a big problem around my community. I don't want you to target random people. Instead, why don't we try to teach a lesson to the drunks or the adulterers or the people of the night?" And you know what we were talking about a little earlier, with the ladies of the night and the men of the night, the people of the night. Go after them only. And the Puka said, "Well, what about my feed? I got to eat too." And that's when the king and them, you know, negotiated down to a science that we were going to have Puka Day celebrated on November 1st.
Yes.
And if you don't feed enough, I guess the High King wasn't smart enough to bargain that there would be a Puka Wrath. But there's still the Puka Wrath if you don't leave enough offerings for said Puka. But it was said that this king wrestled it into submission by grabbing three hairs. He had another ace up his sleeve, which we'll get to in a minute, because I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself from a Puka. The Puka also, I wanted to go over some of the more sinister side of things. It is said that the Puka can actually haunt the children in their nightmares, especially if they're mischievous. It is said that if a mischievous child has a dream of a very bossy man that causes them physical harm in their sleep, that is actually a Puka manifesting into their dream state to cause them nightmares. There is also chances of a Puka just randomly appearing, not asking you for a ride, but demanding conversation.
Well, that's terrifying for a lot of people, Bob.
If you're an introvert, absolutely. Yes. I could see why that would be.
Demanding conversation.
This Puka will appear to you and just say, "Hey, we're having a talk." And if you say no, guess what happens? Puka's wrath. Start destroying property.
All right. And the conversation can be ongoing, endless, Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know when it stops. The Puka just keeps talking.
On and on and on.
The Puka
on.
Never the Puka, stops Puka talking. Never it's stops just talking. Like.
But it'll appear. And it is a danger for all introverts everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when you have a conversation with the Puka, you're expected to respond and carry your part of the conversation, correct? Or you let the Puka do all the talking?
I mean, if a Puka appeared to me and wanted to have a conversation, you know damn well I'm going to actually have a conversation with this Puka. I'm not going to stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll talk a Puka.
Let's see if I can out-talk the Puka. I do like the sound of my own voice from time to time.
Does a Puka have a silky, smooth, buttery voice?
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm assuming probably not.
No. Oh.
I mean, there's no real written record of what a Puka sounds like, but...
That's a good question, too. What does the Puka sound like?
I don't know. Well, we'll have to figure that one out.
What does the Puka say?
Hey kid, back in my day.
Just the old man.
I don't know. That's my Puka voice. All right. So there are some popular occurrences of the Puka. Popular symbols, right? And a couple of those is the Easter Bunny. Mm. The imagery of the Easter Bunny could actually date back to the Puka. Mm. There's different levels of that, one being like a star coming with the spring, and she has the bunnies. But the symbol of the Puka taking shape of the hare and running around at very fast speeds to deliver the eggs, you know, deliver whatever treats they can do. In this case, you know, Puka might come to a farmland and help actually do good. In this case, the Easter Bunny comes and brings Easter eggs that actually might have originated from the Puka.
So... And if we're talking here now, Bob, about the Puka and the Easter Bunny kind of being one and the same, does that mean the Easter Bunny is a cryptid?
We'll talk about that come closer to Easter.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because a Puka's a fae. I wouldn't consider it a cryptid. Because a puka is definitely a fey creature.
Well, I'm curious. Well, I guess we'll find out about the Easter Bunny here soon enough.
Yeah. In the stories of in the story of the Midsummer Night's Dream, which is the famous written piece. Have you ever read Midsummer Night's Dream?
Of course, my favorite book.
You've never read it, have
no,
you?
No, I haven't.
You've never studied. No. There's a character Puck in the story of Midsummer's Night's Dream, and it's many believe that Puck was a puka. Or have you ever seen Donnie Darko?
I have seen Donnie Darko.
Frank.
The giant rabbit.
Frank the giant rabbit was a puka.
Okay.
Yeah, that's facts. Frank from Donnie Darko was a puka.
They say that in the... They didn't say
they
that.
They don't say that in the movie, but that's, you know, that's the character of Frank was based on a puka.
Mm-hmm. Mind-blowing.
Have you ever seen S. Darko? The sequel?
I have not.
It's not good.
Does he make an appearance in that too?
We'll talk about that some other for Bob After Dark Watches movies. Bob After Movies.
We got a lot to cover in the bunny episode, the rabbit episode.
The bunny episode. God, please don't make me do an entire episode of bunnies. So I'm going to talk about Ostara, and that's fine and dandy. I like Ostara enough, but Jesus.
Well, I'm just wondering how the Easter Bunny relates to all this now.
It's a puka!
I know, but you said there's more information to come.
The puka!
Oh.
I was getting to the bunny thing from Frank.
Let's be frank here.
Let's be frank. Yeah. All right, so you're probably wondering yourself, how do I defend myself against a puka?
How?
Well, you see, Count Panic, there's a certain level of things you can do to defend yourself against a puka. The first thing is, if it appears to you and you don't care about the, you know, the premonitions or the good luck that follows or the good advice that a puka can give, if you just want to get through that story, you could tell them goodbye, and then you're promptly going to have to deal with the puka's wrath. So, in essence of saying goodbye, you can try to trick it and say something like, I'll be right back, or hold that thought, or put a pin in that and come visit me when I got some time. But never a straight-up denial, and never a goodbye.
Okay.
It was said that when the King Brian Boru challenged the puka, how he was able to grab the hold of those three strands of the hair to be able to force it down and force the puka into submission. It was said that the great king wore silver spurs on his boots.
Okay.
So when he rode the puka and the puka was doing the rampage, riding around, going at fast speeds, you know, going tremendously over the different sites, that the king was smart enough to wear the silver spurs and was able to kind of kick the puka with the silver spurs during the ride, which caused the puka damage enough for him to force
it. How smart is that there, Bob?
I think obviously the great King Brian Boru was the guy who thought of that. And that goes back, you know, concept of the silver kind of defending yourself against paranormal threats is a very common trope in any story. Myself, I would probably wear iron, because iron is your typical anti-fae, you know, weapon. So if I think I'm going out for a drink along the Irish countryside and I'm going to get belligerently drunk and walk home and I think I'm going to get attacked by a puka, I might wear some iron spurs. Or in this case, in the great King Brian Boru, he used silver. I've never walked in spurs before. I don't think they could connect to my Vans shoes that I typically wear to everything
I ever do. Get you some boots, Bob.
I don't know, man.
Drinking boots?
I don't think I'd look good in boots.
I know, but you're going out to drink and you need to defend yourself somehow. Just wear boots and spurs.
I just won't climb atop the talking rabbit or the talking horse with the chains.
Not good to resist the conversation, though, Bob.
I say so. Now, Count, so that's your ways to defend. You know, as we wrap up the show, it's funny when we look at the fae creatures, right? And we look at their stories and their... You know, there's similarities between the two. So, in the case of the Kelpie, which we talked about a little bit ago, I remember, do we have a caller this
morning? No, I'm just adjusting the computer.
I was like, man, we got a caller. Is it Jack? Is he calling back to lay down some knowledge about the puka I forgot?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's good. You know, you look at the story of the Kelpie, and the Kelpie was going after people in a malicious sense. It really desperately, it hungers for the human flesh, and it hungers for those entrails that we talked about a couple weeks ago when we talked about the Kelpie. And that is the same kind of concept. It's a shape-shifting horse type creature that takes people for a ride. Difference between the Kelpie and the Pooka, though, is when you look at something like the Kelpie, that's you're stuck on that ride and you're about to go drown in some water. Whereas the Pooka is just gonna go take you for a ride and try to sober you up or maybe talk some sense into you. And as long as you're not, causing any issues, and as long as you're not doing those types of things, and you're keeping it well fed, and you're giving it the correct offerings that it demands, then you're probably in decent shape. I would say the Pooka is not as the malevolent species of fey like you'd see with the Kelpie or even the Leprechaun or, God help you, the Dooleron when we talked about that last year. It's not as malicious as those types of creatures, but this one just seems like it's trying to teach humans a lesson. It's more along the lines of, hey, you should probably be a good person, and if not, I'm going to take you for a ride.
Yeah.
And this thing's going to be running faster than a moving car and running you up and down things, and it's going to have a full-blown conversation with you on its back. So I wouldn't say the Pooka is necessarily a bad creature. Now, the downside is pre the king discovering how to tame it and force it into submission. Yeah, it was causing problems all over the place, but maybe over time the Pooka became more of a symbol for change and a symbol for trying to do better amongst yourself and honor your partner and don't be, that type of person that works at night, if you catch my drift.
Don't drink?
Never
No.
mind. Bob After
We're
Dark
the
supports
Spurs.
all of your career decisions as long as you're not causing harm to yourself or other people.
We're the Spurs.
Yeah,
Yeah.
where are your Spurs? So, what's your take on the whole story of the Pooka?
Pooka, not something I would want to run into, of course, especially after a night out, but again, between the fast-paced riding and the talking, this, I think I'll take my chances with the leprechaun, Bob.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Leprechaun could screw you up, man. This thing's just gonna take you for a
But
ride.
I could drink and have fun with the leprechaun.
Well, I mean, that's
The
fine.
pooka doesn't want me to drink.
The Pooka don't want you to drink, and the Pooka,
No.
and God help you if you don't,
Yeah.
if you're not feeding the Pooka correctly, because now your cows are gonna give spoiled milk, and your chickens ain't laying eggs,
Sh
and
sure, the
they're gonna leave
leprechaun.
the berries.
Yeah, sure, the leprechaun is menacing, but you can have a good time with the leprechaun. You can't do that with the pooka.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Well, unless they come in to randomly appear to you and ask to have a conversation, in which case that's a
Now I'm going to pit Fey against Fey here. Leprechaun versus Pooka. Who you got?
Well, we hear stories of the Pooka getting into fights with the Fae all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Think
Or the
about it.
Kelpie.
The Kelpie.
Next week on the show, we're actually going to be doing a list of fey creatures that don't necessarily have enough content to fill the lore of the week. So it's going to be more or less a list.
Oh.
And there are several fey creatures. Like, did you know that there's a fey version of a vampire?
No.
Yeah. Or there's so there's different things like that. So next week we're going to have like a list of some of the different fey creatures that didn't have enough content to fill an entire
We'll
episode.
be seeing a giant rabbit in there?
Just talked about the Pooka.
No, we want to talk about the Easter Bunny. Way different than the Pooka. Well, I guess not too different after this episode, but still its own thing.
No.
The Easter Bunny comes into your house at night, drops off some chocolate eggs.
Absolutely.
Terrifying.
Got any closing words for us for this evening?
Be careful out there. Wear your spurs and everything in moderation, folks.
Absolutely. And behind and folks, thank you so much for listening and watching another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.